Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee. Hi, guys, and welcome to the program today. Good to have you here. It's a sunshiny day. Life is good, right?
It's good. It's
a great day.
So, you guys are getting the hang of this thing, right? You're like old pros now?
Well, old pros, no, but we've done this a few times, and we really appreciate that we've been getting some calls. It tells us that at least
we do love helping the community and answering questions. That's the whole reason why we're here, is to involve the community and help empower them to be their best medical advocate, answer questions, and kind of be their resource in an area that is difficult sometimes to navigate.
Right. Well, we are trying to start a whole new line of discussion in the community, getting people to be a little more open and aware of what their medical circumstances are and how they can best address those. It's heartwarming for me to know that people are hearing it, that we are telling people something that drives them to want to do something. And we've gotten some calls that are great, some questions from people as they've tried to pursue that best medical advocate category and talk to their doctor about things they may not have talked to them about before. So it's
to kind of expand on that, to give some ideas as you're going in through medical circumstances. Sometimes you may think that you have a clear understanding, or you're just putting everything into your physician's hands to make determinations for you.
We do that.
Yeah, I say that while your doctor has far more years of experience preparing to be a physician, only you can make determinations and decisions on your health care. Keep in mind, and I hope I don't offend any doctors out there, but doctors practice medicine, meaning they take their experience and studies as a doctor and statistics, and they put that information together, and they make determinations on how to care for you and how to provide services for you. But every one of us are very unique and very dynamic, and we respond to treatments differently, and we have decisions about how we want to be treated that are very, very different. So it's so important to ask questions, to ask what your plan of care is, so that you have enough information to be the one to make those final decisions. And we found this week with the phone calls that we've had just truly how important that is, to understand the road that you're navigating.
Right. Medicine isn't math. Math, you get the same answer every time you put the input in. And if it was as simple as math, we would just have a simple book that we could refer to and get all the answers that we need. But because the circumstances are always different, because the responses that people have from treatments are always different, there is no one-size-fits-all medical plan. And so what you have from a doctor is the ability to have had some experience with a variety of treatments that may apply to what you have. And that doctor may have had some good experiences with some things and some good experiences with another, and he helps balance what he thinks from his experiences might be helpful for you, but he still doesn't know your whole story and what you think are right. Goals. Everybody has different goals, and while we may have a general goal of I want to get better, you have to be more specific about that goal and the paths that you're willing to take. Is surgery, removal of a body part, the first step that you want to take, or do you want to look at less invasive procedures that may work? And I'm making this very general. Whether you are more on the, yes, give me the heaviest dose of whatever drug I can have, or on the, well, I know that there are side effects, and I think I'd rather try something that's less taxing
invasive,
on my body.
Right. Yeah, less invasive. Do the consequences outweigh, the current circumstances? Is the benefit better than the risk?
Right. And what discomfort am I willing to experience for what benefit? We get to see ads on television and radio about drugs and things like that. There's a product called, there's a product for chronic dry eye. And I've just been surprised by these ads because now maybe I don't have an experience with chronic dry eye, so I don't understand how terrible it is. But in that ad, they'll tell you all of the downsides to that.
And there's a lot of them.
And there's huge ones. Yeah. You know, massive medical problems that come up, including death.
You might die, but take this for your dry eye.
Right.
No big deal.
And so we should all have the opportunity to make those specific decisions. So we like people to be more engaged in their healthcare, and knowledge is a great place to start with that. So that's where we think this conversation is getting started, and we're excited about it in the community, where especially in the elder care category, because not only are we dealing with our own medical conditions, but we may be dealing with our parents' medical condition and having to have an understanding. So more conversation with doctors.
We kind of believe that most people really do want the best quality of life. And so that gets into the weighing the, so I have dry eye. If I take this, I'm at risk of these consequences.
Right.
How severe is the dry eye? Now, how does that relate to the elder care? You know, what treatments are we facing? Are we being offered? Are our doctors offering those measures? Because as a physician, he really wants to help cure us, or are we just being offered treatments that if we really understood our plan of care, we'd realize are probably not going to cure us. They're just going to offer us more treatments. And since treatments all have effects on our bodies, we individually have to make the decision, is it worth the treatment or not? And we bring that up because it is an individual choice. And while you can consult with your doctor, if you don't ask the questions, the scary questions that you might not want the answers to, you know, is this a curative treatment? We believe you probably want to know that, whether it's a scary question or not. Maybe have somebody else ask it and broach it to you later. But we should probably know, are the treatments we're being offered curative or not? And are the decisions that are being made to us, posed for us, are they in our best interest? Is it what we would want as an individual? Or, you know, would that be right for somebody else but not really what I would choose?
You guys talk about the plan of care, and I think of, okay, you need an advocate. Who is the advocate? Well, your number one advocate, as you were saying, Kaylee, is you.
Right.
You know, you need to advocate for yourself. But talk about this plan of care. Are we talking about a written plan? And who is putting that together? Are you telling your doctor what you want as part of that?
So that's a fabulous question, because most people don't realize that every time they go into the hospital for the treatment or into the doctor's office, your doctor comes out of that room with you and writes a narrative. That narrative includes a keywords, plan of care.
POC. Yeah.
It says whether they think that the methods that they're trying are going to work or not. Sometimes it will very specifically say the likelihood. This has a 20% chance, but we're choosing this because the alternative is this.
Right.
Or if this doesn't work, we're going to proceed with this. So it's pretty descriptive. And if you ask for that plan of care and you or your advocate, a loved one, reads that for you, I think you'd be surprised at how much detail is in it. And it will spark questions for you to say, whoa, wait a second, I didn't know about this. Or maybe you didn't remember that I really prefer a more natural approach, or I really don't want opioids. Is there something else that you can offer me? But if you don't ask those questions, then the doctor's continuing to make those decisions for you, because you're not injecting your opinions in there.
And his decisions are going to be based upon what he remembers of you. And most everything that he remembers of you is going to be in his file. It's your continued plan of care. Okay? He can look at your medical history, your history and physical, right? He can look at that data, and he may recognize you when you walk in, or he could just act like he recognizes you when you walk in.
Well, I think that they do. They develop relationships with you over the year, but we all forget details about people.
What was that number you told us last week? How many patients the average doctor has? Is somewhere near thousands, wasn't it?
It's 1,800 to 2,000 patients.
How in the world is he going to remember you specifically, even if you see him once a month?
Right, and we can't blame them.
That's what
the model is. They have to have that many patients to be able to maintain their practice and do those things. So it's just the nature of the problem. But if we can be a little more involved, if we can bring to him things that he might not have written down in the plan of care previously. Again, like what your goals are.
Or, in fairness, it may have been written down, but just farther in the history. Right. And so when
four pages back, yeah.
That's right. So when he quickly reviewed your history as he comes in to see you, he remembers those things that were of primary importance the last time he spoke with you, but might have forgotten. I said, you know, that he took your kidney out, one of
my gallbladder,
right,
actually.
Your bladder. I mean, right. I mean, it just a small detail at the time that he's dealing with a different problem might have been missed or just not at the top of his mind at that minute.
And your doctor wants to provide the absolute best care that he can.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're there to help him assess that care, to give him your input on what that care is and how it affects you and your goals, then you are going to come up with a better plan of care. It's just going to be better if everybody's involved. It's like having a contract or an agreement. If you're involved in the development of it, it's going to be better for everybody. And so being able to be actively engaged in a plan of care is great. Our best starting point is either have a conversation with your doctor specifically about that, or if you want to be a little prepared for that conversation, and we think this is really the best, just ask him for a copy of that. They should be able to email it to you or fax it, or you can pick it up, mail it, you know, whatever. That should be a pretty straightforward thing. And if you get that paperwork from the doctor and you're able to read and understand what he or she was saying in writing about what your situation is, that's a good foundation for a conversation.
And then let's remember that all decisions are based on some fact or some motivation, correct? So it's either that they really believe that this plan that's being offered for you is in your best interest based on what they know and understand about you. But unfortunately, sometimes decisions are made on a financial basis. I mean, the reality is that sometimes there's financial decisions involved. And this week we had kind of, I guess, a curious or an interesting scenario that we want to share so that you really take to heart that even the physicians that we love sometimes have ulterior motives in why they're offering something to you. And Richard, do you want to?
Well, so we want to get into detail on that. I'm going to toss one out. We got a call from somebody who said, my doctor told me that I'd have to pay for a copy of my plan of care, which just doesn't seem right for me.
It's not. It's your medical record.
Yeah,
you
I didn't
ever have to.
All the stuff about me, and they want me to pay to to read about me.
Mm. I never talked to that doctor about it, so I don't know the other side of that conversation. So I'm not trying to cast any dispersions. I'm not, but it would be surprising for me. And I guess if that was actually the general way that doctor was going to work, that should probably be in the interview conversation.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking
right
to a doctor and you're trying to choose who you want to have, if you said, hey, if I want to copy my plan of care, can I get that from you easily? I think that would be a good question. So maybe put that in your conversation list.
Or say, here, you don't have to print it. I'm not going to pay for printed copies. Just email it to me. But it is your medical record, and you have a legal right to it.
Yeah.
So it's your medical record. Ask for your medical record. You'll find it there.
And so the story that we're going to talk about today, which is, again, one of those surprising things, we had somebody call who their father was declining, and they knew that, and they were looking for help, and they had been struggling with this, and they'd been talking to the doctor to try and overcome some of the problems, and they knew that they weren't going to be able to overcome a lot of those. So
he'd been in the hospital multiple right. times, had issues that were consistently a problem and constantly going to quit care, and here we are in COVID, and the daughter came in from out of town and has been spending all this time with him trying to take care of him, realizing that she's going to be leaving town and the other siblings that were here all work full-time, and so the support system was going to be reduced, and really looking for, called in and said, so you say that you help, what are some things that you can help with? And as we consulted with her, there were a lot of things that we could do to help bring support in, to check in on the father and to, you know, help them with their daily activities and just everyday
And they came to realize that they were hospice eligible, that this was something that probably wasn't going to get fixed, and that the plan had to be to manage the days that were available, mm-hmm. not not just wait it out, because waiting isn't going to do any good, but actually try and improve every day that we had available. So we talked to the patient and the daughter, and so they both talked to the doctor. And when they had that conversation that we encourage people to have about hospice, you know, the doctor just said, no, I don't think that's right now, with giving no alternative explanation. So they called us again, and we talked, and we were a little bit surprised. So we called the doctor, and the doctor said, well, yes, they're absolutely hospice eligible, but that isn't what I would, you know, what I think they should do. And we kept digging and talking, and then we talked to the family again, the patient and the daughter, and then they actually went in to speak to the doctor, and the doctor tried to discourage them from, you know, going on hospice and having those in-home services that were going to be so vital, because the daughter had to go back to her family. She had family in another state.
Yeah.
She, you know, she had been coming once a month and checking on her dad, but now he can't go a month without somebody, you know, being there to check upon him. So we, longer story short, we kept going back and forth, and these were some things that we realized. The doctor said to us, why would I refer him to hospice? Because then I can't bill anymore. And that was heartbreaking for us to realize that was the incentive.
He really said that.
That they
right.
had.
Yeah,
wow.
It was surprising, because the response from the doctor really was, you know, why would I do that? Then I stopped billing. And when we pushed and said, but it really is what's best for the patient and their family, they really need these support systems in place to help them. And the response was, well, let them figure it out. They have resources, they have money, they can pay for it privately. Let them figure it out. And I was dumbfounded because that one surprised me. But I know that not all doctors think that way, but you just have to realize that you have to be the one to ask the questions. You have to know so that you can say, nope, this is the direction I want to go. Now, fortunately, this daughter, you know, was intuitive. I don't get in the middle of that. I can only lead you to say, go ask the questions. And she made a decision anyway and went back to the doctor and said, well, I want to choose to go on to hospice. So they chose that for themselves. And it was interesting because the doctor still loved that patient and immediately wanted to follow and will remain a part of their hospice experience and be, you know, oversee all of their care. So it worked out as a win-win, but it was interesting that the first reaction was, why would I have offered hospice, when we're thinking, why wouldn't you have?
Right. And that's again, part of it. Doctors may not be looking at this. Full disclosure with this doctor, there were two things that we see that you know, helped overcome this change. First, the doctor didn't realize the circumstances as well as she probably should have for the patient, what the patient's home circumstances were. So she was just looking at the small square of medical care that she wanted to offer and how she wanted to do that, not looking at a more broad whole issue. And certainly in hospice, we do want to cover everything and look at the entire circumstance.
And in fairness, not all hospices are alike. And the truth is, we do offer a lot more than any of their experiences had been with other hospices. And that's why we've been here trying to educate the community on not all hospices are alike. We are all very, very different. And the services that are going to be offered to you from one hospice company to another hospice company are very different. I said last week that patients who have hospice care, once they're determined to be eligible for hospice, live on average, according to CMS, 29 days longer. But families that have palliative care live on average 2 months longer. So we are trying to educate the community on that while all hospice is palliative, not all palliative is brought to the hospice program. It can be much more expansive. We have a much more robust palliative program than most.
Right. And so adding that palliative care, and that was the second thing for the doctor. First, they didn't quite have a good understanding of the patient's circumstances, and second, they didn't have a good understanding of what hospice could be. Once we had those discussions, the doctor was on board and said, yes, I get it now, and they're excited about what can be done for the patient. So it's about having more conversations and education in the community and with your doctor so that everybody has a better understanding and makes better decisions.
And Andy, what will take you there? What will get you answer those questions for you? Plan of care.
And being your own advocate. Those are two things I've learned about today.
You're so good.
Tell us a little bit, and we've had about 3 or 4 minutes left, why some doctors that you guys have experienced do not want to refer to hospice. You talked about it a little bit already, but maybe you can expound on that a little bit.
So I would like to think that most doctors who are hesitant to refer a patient to hospice, it is because they are uncomfortable with the conversation. Hmm. It's a hard conversation to have.
It is.
I would say if you were going to do quick bullet points, yes, uncomfortable with conversation because doctors came into the industry to cure. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to say, I don't really have a cure, but I can offer you more treatments. And so that's a difficult conversation. But also there is, you know, unfortunately, there is the financial. But more than anything, I'd say that the hospice experience in this valley, we've talked about it, there's a stigma to hospice. And I think that's just from the experience and understanding of the past. Again, without a really robust palliative program that really is going to offer substantial benefits to the patients, why? Why offer it until the very, very end when medication and comfort care is all that's left? But when hospice can bring an experience, an opportunity for a family to focus on those things that are important, accomplish things on their bucket list that they may want to accomplish. Possibly it's bringing families together to support a loved one or to address issues that, you know, have sat lingering, you know, make amends for whatever it is. But the more time you have on hospice, the more opportunity you have just to create beautiful end-of-life experiences and memories as opposed to just a very narrow period of time of sorrow and hardship.
Hospice isn't about deciding that there's nothing you can do. Hospice is about realizing that there are limits to how long we're going to live, and we can choose to do everything we can to make the best time available for us.
Right. Quality of life.
That's really what we're looking at. It's not giving up. It's taking another direction and having some successes in choosing hospice.
You guys, you know, we've been a little bit hard on doctors, but what you said, Kaylee, a minute ago was they don't want to feel like they're giving up on a patient. Mm-hmm. That's contrary to their nature of becoming a physician.
Right. And I don't want to be hard on doctors. Not all doctors, you know, have that mindset, and they may not have that mindset with every patient.
Right.
So in all fairness, you know, physicians are compassionate. They wouldn't get into this business if they didn't have a heart to cure and to help. So the reality is I hope it wasn't taken that way. It's just that as individuals, we need to make decisions for ourselves, and we need to recognize that there's a lot of outside decisions that might be being made.
Okay, we got doctors have more information, they can make more informed decisions. For
yeah, well said. We've got 1 minute. Tell us about how to get a hold of you guys and as to what Pathway is all about. And you have a website?
We do. So the website is pathwayhospicecare.com.
Okay.
The phone number is 435-477-6999. You can text us. You can email us. My email is richard@pathwayhospicecare.com. Kaylee's is Kaylee at pathwayhospicecare.com.
Call us with any questions that you have. We really are here just to help you. No obligation. We just want to help.
To help you understand your medical circumstances, whether or not hospice is appropriate for you now, we want you to be more informed on your own medical care.
And we're here to educate the community. That's it.
Awesome. Thanks, Kaylee, Richard. Great job today.
Thanks. You.